Okay, the recordings have been started.
Thank you very much, Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the CWG on the Framework of Operating Principles call on the 5th of June 2014. On the call today, we have John Berard, Cheryl Anganol, Alamet Delevey, and Hadjian Mardi. We have apologies from Anne-Catherine Markusson, Avi Doria, Sue Najidai, and Anne Beth Lange, and Talia Enciso. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Bart Boswinkle, Steve Chan, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, John.
Well, thanks very much, Natalie. Welcome, all. I would like to start by thanking the staff for creating a quite useful working document that you see before you on the screen. It's the spreadsheet that incorporates the life cycle of the of a working group, breaks it, identifies the areas of interest within each, and then outlines against the six cross-community working groups that we have identified as examples on which we can draw how each of them addressed the particular issues. The you've had a chance, I hope, to review this document. What I would like to spend our time on today is that blank column on the far right. And the reason I would like to do that is that we are gearing up for a meeting during London 50 on the Monday of the meeting, and I would very much like to issue before the meeting a preliminary progress or a progress report on our work. And I would like that progress report to identify the problem set that we think we hope to address, because it is in publicizing the problem set that I think we will be able to generate a bit more cross-community enthusiasm, cross-community exercise. I don't want to ignore, however, any incorrect information or inconsistencies that you personally know exist in the spreadsheet because of your participation in those cross-community working groups. And so with Haji and Alan, if you could just talk a bit about what do you think that's a reasonable plan, if there's any data in the spreadsheet that ought to be changed, and to begin to frame the content for that far right column. So I don't know which of you would like to start first, but I'm encouraging volunteers.
It's Alan here. I only to say that I'm embarrassed that I've only had a very minor role in one small working group under the CCNSO, which actually went very well. I think there are others that are perhaps of a much richer history in this work than I, and even Bart or Cheryl, I think, certainly come to mind from the CC community, and I would pass the floor to them.
Well, Cheryl, you want to pick up the baton?
Yeah, just coming off mute. Yeah, I'm certainly able to do a little speaking to this. I wonder, though, John, in your desire to fill out the blank on the right hand side, and particularly because you want to have a as you say, a problem set identified. Did you want to take the time today to run in order through the sets of assumptions? Some of them are the ticker box, yes and no. I've actually, looking through this, been engaged at various levels, I think, in each and every one of these. And whilst there is... how to say this politely, bugger it, I won't. Looking at the cells, in some cases, very, very little inflammatory or problem identified by the text as such. If you go down to things as simple as the question on chartered or not, we could tease out the fact that in some cases groups, chartering organisations, and I put that in inverted commas, have caused problems for themselves individually and other parts of community in general by assuming either a greater or lesser ownership rather than working to have particular equity in the command and control of things that, for example, may be identified in a charter. The difference, for example, with the IDN fast track work, for example, where it quite reasonably and necessarily fell under a primarily CCNSO work group set of protocols, could appear, for example, on the face of it as being a negative, where in fact it was quite positive, and it was the nature of the work at hand that made that a positive experience. The absolute opposite to that, of course, is what could be seen as a somewhat more significant set of issues was raised in what would be better described as a co-chartering exercise that went slightly off the rails with a joint applicant support. So I think we might tease out a little bit more if you let us go down briefly and see if there is some more depth and colour that can be brought in. Certainly from my absolutely biased point of view, the situations where a good deal of effort went into appropriately chartering and identifying need as part of the work plan, and it's kind of a work plan and agreed scope and methodologies that'll make or break these things, is one of the identifiables. To be honest, my biases are pretty clear. Things that are better designed from the beginning usually have better outcomes, but they also have to be fit for purpose.
Let me see if I can, in my own halting way, repeat back what I think I heard you say and see if I'm correct. So, chartering presents one of the essential points of success or failure for a cross-community working group.
Peel it back a little earlier, John. Even pre-chartering, effective identifying of what the task is. In other words, what's the problem we're fixing? In jazz, it was a lot fluffier. Yeah?
Right. And does this... Okay, so the two things there. So identifying the problem and then determining does the problem affect more than one SO or AC? Right. So if it does, then you would look at it as a cross-community initiative. And then the other one is in the pre-chartering. Can we define it specifically enough so that we actually know where we are going and when we have gotten, which I think was part of the jazz problem. And if I'm oversimplified this, please feel free to tell me so.
I don't think it's oversimplifying. Ownership is always an issue, though, John. I think we've heard in the corridors, if not at the microphones over the years, if it's about us, whoever us is, it should include us. whoever us is, in the processes. And I think historically there has been a temptation to have a somewhat paternalistic view to some of these things, to say this essential issue is the domain, pardon the pun, it is deliberate, of the G space versus the C space, or is something that has greater industry or contract concern and therefore belongs in one house or identified pillar of support organisation or other. And I think part of the excruciating and sometimes quite annoying process that goes on in some of the longer PDPs, for example, where the brakes get put on processes and everyone's gone, have to go back and apparently feel like they're having to redo things again, is when the quite desirable and necessary input from wider community, in other words, everyone who's affected, comes in, often seen, for example, from one of the advisory committees. GAC has been guilty, and I'll put that in inverted commas, of this quite frequently, rather late in the process. Whereby herding all the cats into one room and locking the door early on in the process may actually allow people to have at least the opportunity for a clear understanding of what the problems are, what the analysis of the problems are, and why certain pathways are chosen. So I think just saying, identifying who owns the problem or who it's going to affect is in itself fraught with danger. One thing that I noticed CCNSO seem to do quite successfully and early on, even in things that are quite definitely their bailiwick, and the IDN work is an early example, but it's far from the only one, is drag some of the rest of the community, ALAC in particular, along by saying, we know you lot are going to have something to say about it, so we're sticking a seat at the table early on. Please try and come and fill it, but, you know, don't bleat at us because you haven't been given the opportunity you have. And that's not a bad thing. It's annoying when the seats stay empty, but it does give at least the forces the hand, I guess, for the want of a better word. An example there, of course, and Bart can embellish this a bit, is even in what's pre-PDP or study group type work, and the framework of interpretation working group, looking at delegation, redelegation, which are terms in themselves that are going to be changed in the near future as a result of that working group, that affects internet end user communities right down to the local level, has a lot to do with governments, has a lot to do with obviously the CCs, but, you know, being able to say you have a not only a need but a right and a place and space to be involved right from the beginning to ALAC, to GNSO and to GAC is probably wise. Now, GNSO doesn't necessarily need to pick up any of that offer. GAC doesn't need to pick up any of that offer. But identifying the issues and deliberately going out and forcing the hand throughout the process to get them engaged, I think makes a better product at the end. But I feel like I'm doing a monologue and you're just getting my biases and you've got a whole lot of really good horizontal issues here that you've identified, and maybe we can also look for similarities as well. I mean, you've got a fairly granular approach here and I'm responding to you at a very helicopter view.
No. We'll turn to Bart. I see you're next, but you make a very good point, Cheryl, and it is one that I have personally grappled with, which is this notion of if a part of the community does not participate, Shouldn't we make sure that that is active non-participation? Should there be a part of the process of building cross-community working groups that not only offers an invitation, but requires a response that says, no, we're not going to participate? Because the sniping or criticism that comes from that after a decision is made because there was a lack of participation can be perhaps muted if that lack of participation is made active as opposed to just, you know, passive. And Bart, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, thanks. This is Bart for the record. Just to explain a little bit on the chart that staff has produced. Cheryl, you're absolutely right. What we didn't want to do is provide some color and depth. What we did is using the life cycle model that we presented on the previous call, and there are some details in there already, and just look at the charters of these different groups and whether they were covered and what we know about the, say, the history of it. So it doesn't include these more, so it's more an organizational mapping than anything else. And I think this goes back to what John just said and what you just said as well. The more the quote unquote politics of it are not in this, in this overview. And that's, I think, something for the working group itself to add to a table like this or in other format, because I think then we have quite an overview of what is needed to start successful cross-community working groups. And going back to the IDNC working group and the FOY working group, probably if you would add the FOY to this one, for example, you should have included the DRD, which is the Delegation Redelegation Working Group, as well, because it set the whole series of issues, which is almost a parallel structure as what happened with the IDNC working group, where you had a GAC CCNSO working group that identified the issues. And both the IDNC and the FOY were building on the work done before. So you first have identification of issues and then another working group addressing these issues. But that's probably too much details for the others. But I fully concur with you, say, adding this depth and color is something similar as John is promoting, is more, I would call it, the politics of around and how to engage people and the outreach that is needed to make a cross-community working group successful. But recapping, this is only mapping charters, so this is recorded history. We didn't look at the final reports or anything else, just the charters. And what is interesting already is see the evolution of these charters, and which are, it looks like, reasonably stable now if you look on the, say, organizational methods of including other SO or different SOs and ACs, and on the closure, and what goes in between is it's a matter of the working group. I think that was, just by mapping these charters, was one of the easy conclusions you could draw, that the invitation, so the chartering bit and the closure bit, is probably the most needed and needs the most attention in order to create successful working groups. Thanks.
Sure. Did you want to just agree? Ah, okay.
I often find myself agreeing with Bart, so don't be too surprised with that.
I see that Becky has joined us. Ms. Burr, if you want to offer some comments that are both as introduction and enlightenment.
Yes, thanks very much, and I apologize for being late. And I think Bart's sort of characterization of what this chart does as opposed to what may be recommendations that come out of this is an important distinction. So as I understand that, we're really looking at the history right now, and the question about sort of active non-participation is really a going. It's an observation that many of us might have about how the working groups have worked in the past. I see that there's a suggestion about requiring sort of active non-participation. When we come back to that, when it's sort of more directly on the agenda, I would very much like to phrase it in a different way. Because I actually think the bigger problem there is that people are formally and officially participating. Groups are formally and officially participating, but not in actual fact really participating, and that's a bigger problem than the we're just not going to pay attention to it.
Well, Becky, this might be and Cheryl, I'll just offer us a quick response to Becky, and then we can turn it over to you. my hope, and I mentioned this before you came on the line, is that we could prepare a progress report that could be issued broadly before we get to London and serve as a stimulus for participation in our session on the Monday of the London meeting. You know, I was hoping that that progress report might focus on the problem set that we've identified.
Right.
And if active non-participation or I think if you want to refine that now, that'd be great, because I would like to include that or some variant of it as part of the problem set for our meeting. I also, in my own notes here, note that Cheryl's point about ownership being essential, the need for everybody to speak the same language, this unified language point, again, that Cheryl made. And then we were talking broadly earlier about the pre-chartering problem statement and scope, so that when a particular SLRAC is contemplating a working group, that there is sensitivity enough in the individual SLRAC to appreciate that what they're about to jump into ought to be approached from a cross-community perspective, and that might be where a checklist that we might create could be helpful for individual SOs and ACs to give them some guidance. So, Cheryl, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, and Cheryl, for the record, my point back to what Becky just raised was specific. What you triggered in me, Becky, was the points that we probably need to identify about resource management from within the component parts and the government advisory committee, but most of the advisory committees, I would be a good example of highly limited human resources with, in fact, in some cases, barriers existing to their abilities to be engaged at a ongoing and granular layer, simply because of other, well, in the case of the GAC, the way they need to come together to meet and who can speak on whose behalf and how things need to be set up. And there's a whole lot of sensitivities and things that need to be considered. But it's not just limited to GAC. It comes as a problem when we look at the large advisory committee from its global perspective, because it's quite possible to get highly effective and highly maladaptive regional bias coming in, where you've got a unified group of thoughts coming into a process which is only representative of, for example, Northern America, as opposed to small island and developing states, and all that sort of stuff comes into play. So part of it is also, I think, recognising that the support organisations who have, in some cases, stood on a very bright line, dare I say almost a battle line from time to time, and said, this is our business and we need to do this now because it suits us and our program, sometimes get out of step, and it may be by accident, it may be by design, this can cause then some of the, hey, why didn't you engage with the wider community earlier type issues. But I think the tendency towards more cross-community working groups, or the desirability for more cross-community working groups, has been born out of. And here I'm talking from around, particularly around 2008-09-ish on, but you've seen them more and more because of the nature of the work coming out. Now, part of that could be addressed if one looks at some of the work done by the Early Accountability and Transparency Review Team, looking at the amount of effort it had to put in to get the Government Advisory Committee to establish at least some frameworks for better operating procedures with other component parts of ICANN. Now, that work is ongoing, but a lot of it has been done. So you've got the GAC board working better together. You've now got far better potential for GAC and GNSO to work better. And, of course, it's slightly unique with GAC and CCNSO because of the nature of the CCTLD operators and their local sovereignty anyway. But I think just identifying and accepting that sometimes, work has to be done because it needs to be done now, but a good problem identification, a good communication program which pushes information out to all of the, sorry, Bart, I can't help myself, I'm going to use the term significantly interested parties. just slow deep breaths. It's all right, Bart. Little in joke for the...
That was Becky.
I think this is more Becky. This is more Becky's point.
I knew you'd enjoy that, Bex. And just sort of make sure that there's a set of checklists, as you suggested, John, not just at the beginning, but throughout a process. And if you look at the difference in terms of time between the IDN work, for example, and some of these later efforts that have been identified for our analysis, you've also had huge changes in even work group practices. Within, for example, and quite specifically, the GNSO. It was during the dim, dark, distant days of the very effective and successful cross-community working group that gave us the fast track to IDN CCTLDs, that also we were building the guidelines for how policy development working groups, study groups and study teams would operate within the GNSO. And I know that a lot of language that went into that documentation that built the model we now operate in GNSO world was very deliberately designed because we knew of the success, the failures, the tensions and the experiences that was going on within that that ongoing cross-community working group of the IDNs, the CCTLDs, because, Avery and I were holding pens on a lot of that, and we were also working in this newfangled area of bringing GAC and ALAC and a whole lot of other ACs and SO interested parties, even external to ICANN, along for a ride. So, look, prior planning prevents a piss-poor performance, I guess, is where we're coming from at this point, but we do need to recognise that not everyone can have the resources to get people actively or passively participating, and there needs to perhaps be greater training on the managers of the process. Now, I don't necessarily mean then that to be the chartering organisations. It may mean the chartering organisations, but it's more likely, in my biased view, to mean the day-to-day managers of the situation. In other words, your leaders of your work group and your staff support. to have checklists that say, and thou shalt proactively reach out to all groups that were originally identified as being with vested interest or otherwise, and reach out to all available groups again, because you may not have recognised back in the beginning that there was vested interest, and that even if you did back then, they may not have had the time, the energy and the inclination to get engaged, but you've got to keep proactively pushing stuff out. And I'm going to shut up yet again. Now I've given Becky a heart attack with using terms that are hot buttons.
Becky, we'll turn it over to you, but before we do, we haven't heard from Haji on this call. I was just curious if you had a comment you wanted to make, or I see Becky's pulled her hand down. So, Haji, is there anything you want to add to the conversation at this point? I don't hear anything. So, Becky, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I just pulled my hand down because you would recognize me, and I usually forget to do that. So Cheryl and I are definitely thinking along the same lines in terms of the some groups, no matter what, will participate less actively and, you know, in some cases in a disappointing way. And so you do just have to keep pushing information out so that they're aware of what's going on to the extent that you can make them aware of it and, you know, have the opportunity to speak up if issues become to take, you know, if things jump up out at them as being problematic. But going back to your comment, John, on the need, you know, on the on sort of putting out some materials in order to generate participation, I actually think, you know, we are moving into a world where everything that's happening of significance in, not that's an overstatement, but the most significant issues that ICANN is going to be dealing with in the next 18 months are going to be dealt with by cross-constituency working groups of one variety or another. And so all of the issues of sort of what do we know about, you know, where things have gone wrong, and so what you need to take care of or avoid or be aware of, how you allocate resources and ensure that, you know, there are sufficient resources across the interest groups at the appropriate level of skill set, because, you know, you need writers, you need thinkers, you need all of that, you know, kinds of varieties of skill sets there. And I don't know what time we are scheduled for our public session, but I actually do think that this should be one of the most interesting sort of utility and tool sessions that we can have in London.
I believe it's at 1:30 on Monday. Is that right, Mary?
That's right. 1:30 London time.
Well, we should definitely try to make sure that you know, that everybody's aware of that, including the folks in ICANN who are taking the laboring oar on some of the transition projects.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And again, jumping the queue here, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to issue a progress report that speaks to some of the things that we've identified. And we've got a growing list of things here, making sure that the areas of concern are fully defined, the allocation, not just of resources, but appropriate skill sets, this notion of ownership, of active non-participation, of the pre-chartering considerations, speaking the same language, making sure that there is active, not just active participation, but active non-participation. And that doesn't even begin to get at what Cheryl was mentioning earlier, the political issues that surround some of these cross-community work groups. So I think we're all on the same page there in that regard. I would like to come back to Alan, who admittedly is has little experience, but has vast experience with regard to getting people of different points of view to work together from a political perspective. Alan, is there any strategic concepts that you think we should make sure that we consider in trying to knit together a policy or a set of procedures for cross-community working groups?
Well, if I had to make – sorry, this is Alan McGilvery. If I had to make any comment, it would be that I don't think we should be aiming for a one-size-fits-all set of procedures, because they have to be adaptable to certain situations. In other words, some situations require something elaborate, others more simple. I think we should be more striving for something like a checklist. In other words, make sure you consider this factor and actively discard it, for example. So that would be that. So I'm going to repeat myself by saying you have to adapt to the circumstances. But even though we could have some set of perhaps key factors or key things that have to be included, and I think we've already made a lot of progress on that on the piece that Mary sent out originally. There are some key things that all working groups have to put in their charter, and maybe that's where we could go, is sort of key requirements and issues that have to be actively considered, though would not necessarily be a specific requirement.
Thank you, Alan. That's good advice. And the notion of a checklist that would require active consideration and active discard would be an interesting approach, which mirrors this active participation and active non-participation. Bart, you're up first.
Yeah, just to add to what Alan said. So what I'll do is... the CCNSO has what is called a guideline for setting up working groups, but also a template. I think I promised it earlier on. After the call, I will send it to the working group as an example. And what it does is it's specifically called a guideline to allow working groups to deviate from what is included. It is not a... So it's not built in concrete, it's just a list for consideration. And if you want to deviate for this particular group, do it. It's just, but be aware, and if you want to, please add a rationale or something. It strengthens the charters of working groups.
Can I just follow up on that?
Cheryl, back to you.
Thanks. Bart, I wish you'd stop getting in the back end of my brain. It's scary where you do that. What I was going to ask is can we identify, in fact, because I actually like measurables as well, any effect on outcomes, or can we make an assumption that there will be a better effect on outcomes for cross-community working groups, where things like mutual understanding of the language, and I don't mean English versus French versus Russian there, the glossary of terms, et cetera, is established early on. But also, during the history that we're looking at just on this page of analysis of what happened when and how it all went with each charter, with or lack thereof in some cases, I know, as does staff probably painfully, that there's been a difference between having the guidelines that Bart was just referring to for CCNSO, which are light touch and necessarily so because of the nature of the support organisation and the community of interest that it serves, and the still guidelines, but more freshly developed guidelines in the scheme of things, because they've been done post 2009, 10 and 11, the guidelines that now exist for the same sort of thing out of CC, out of GNSO world. And to be honest, unless you had someone in a chartering situation, and this did, for example, happen in the DSSA, because you had Chuck and Cheryl and Chris, who literally, worked with staff and bashed out some guidelines that everyone managed to agree with and call a charter. We actually bought those newfangled concept-y things that we knew GNSO was going to be accepting as guidelines into the conversation. We were obviously of the same from CCNSO. Now, right now, we still have a situation, though, where the chartering organisations, whether they're ACs or SOs, in a cross-community working group, may very well be, in the main, unaware of the existing guidelines that are expected to be operated with in each of their component parts. So maybe what we need to do is also have a desirable outcome from our work to take the best bits of these sorts of guidelines and see that there is the guidelines that exist at the end of our process are not, they're built upon and familiar to people who work with either what happens in the CCNSO or the GNSO or the GAC or the ALAC. And I just think that exercise in itself, whilst it's separate from what we kind of have in front of us here today, might be very, very worthwhile. There's for example, you can identify where language may be a real problem because of the use and terminology such as liaison, capital L or lowercase l, just in documentation, because liaison, capital L or lowercase l, means very, very different things to the different ACs and the SOs. So, you know, we really possibly need to go right back to basics on some of this as we're building outcomes. But right now, let's just get the problem set properly identified as well. Sorry, I'm a little excitable about this topic, as you may imagine.
Well, I mean, the meeting started at midnight, so I certainly can appreciate your participation, maybe even more than you can, really. I'll defer to my interim co-chair, but my feeling is that we are moving towards agreement on just how to approach the meeting in London, what it is we would like to get out of the meeting in London, it strikes me that certainly everybody on the call is in agreement that this issue of cross-community working group framework of operating principles is more important than perhaps the number of people on the call might suggest. And my sense is that if we are successful in preparing for the London session, that we'll be able to generate a bit more enthusiasm, which will be appropriate to the matter. One of the things that we'll need to do at the start of the meeting in London is to select real chairs instead of the interim co-chairs. And one of the things I'd like to do is to have people nominate or even self-nominate so that the first item of business is to do that, and then we can get into the substance of the session. So, Becky, I don't know if you want to say anything either in support or in opposition to your candidacy, but I'll turn it over to you.
I think it's always wonderful to have many different volunteers in the community. If called upon, I will serve.
I've just I've just dropped my Adobe room, so I don't know whether my hand went up before it went to trying alternate server and giving me a little connect symbol. But can I just say something that those of you who've worked with me before will not be surprised to hear me say? This is not a picnic. Managing these processes takes experience, it takes trust, and it is not something where every man and his dog and your great Aunt Mary should be saying, I'd like to lead that because it's going to look good on my CV. We need proven, established chairs who can drive a process and take a community along with them, and I personally don't see that it should be your first order of business in a public meeting. I think you should be going to the public meeting saying, we've been the interim chairs and we have the support of the existing working group to continue in the full-blown role, because it does need to be balanced. You're both doing a decent job, you both bring trust, and I see more time wasted going through the, oh, I might look good saying I could do that crap, and it is crap, than is spent on the actual work of some working group. So let's cut the crap and just confirm you two, that with the two primary chartering organisations anyway, you may wish to extend an invitation to another co-chair or vice or whatever term. Again, my care factor on that's really, really low. The titles just get up my goat sometimes. But at the moment, you've got your two SOs clearly working for mutual and beneficial outcomes with experienced leaders. Let's run with that. You might want to see if you can draw some more support at that admin level from some of your ACs as well. As Bart knows very well, we forced that in the DSSA. And having forced that thou shalt all share the leadership model, one or two people worked a lot harder than everybody else. But the model is what's important here. So I wouldn't be suggesting that you democratically, and I sneer when I say the term democratically, and I do that deliberately, open your doors for everyone to say, I'd like to be a leader. Not at all. Becky, John, you're doing a good job. Let's just get on with it. And, ask a couple of others to join you, but, give up on the politeness and let's just have people we know and trust. Was that too
basic? Oh, it's rare. But I take your point. I take both your points. And certainly, as Becky has said, I have a keen interest in this and would certainly be more than happy to continue to serve as the real co-chair. I am intrigued, though, and have from the beginning thought that a third co-chair from an appropriate SO or AC would be a good idea. The ALAC certainly would be an appropriate co-chair for this, although, there are other options, I suppose, but that would be my first instinct. And we can talk about this.
I think, to the extent that, this is critical work and getting sort of the significantly interested, at the table is probably a good idea. So, John, I too would welcome the notion of a leadership, co-chair from ALAC as well.
Before we get off this call, someone's going to have to explain the significantly interested parties.
But then we'll have to kill you.
Oh, no, Becky, one day.
The framework of interpretation working group interpretation of RFC 1591 on delegation and redelegation, as 1591 says, of top-level demands, which is that process has been an incredibly long, hard-working process where we do discuss the definition of a significantly interested party for months on end.
Minutae. Absolute minutae. But incredibly important. It's incredibly important to get right, and it's a really good example where language is vitally important, and how one interprets the language you're using is vitally is vital in these processes. And to
also
be honest,
the I die in the ditch standard for John for your reference.
I see. Well, I understand that. Now, Mary, you've had your hand up for a while. I apologize.
No, not at all. Didn't want to jump in when the momentum was going so well. I did have a couple of follow-on comments to Cheryl's, including the last one that she made, so I hope I don't jumble up the order. Going back to where we are now and where we want to be for London, our caucus with Bart and Steve and, of course, John and Becky, and we'll try and come up with something that can spur discussion in London. One thought I had was to maybe take some of these suggestions, and some of them are fairly general, high-level types, but in today's discussion, there's been a couple of more specific ones. So what I was hearing was that we seem to be driving towards, in terms of outcomes for this group, a template, a set of checklists or guidelines that we would then say, future cross-community working groups, you know, here's your template, guidelines, et cetera. That's at a very general high level. Specifically, there were a few other suggestions, and some of them are in the notes part over here on the right. The last one that I heard was about the chairs, and it seems like if you go through this set of selected CWGs on the list, that I think most people agree it's just logical and makes sense to have co-chairs for each cross-community working group. So that may well be a specific recommendation that we end up with this group. I wonder if you would also want to throw in some, and I'm going to use the word provocative, maybe that's not the correct word, suggestions. And this builds on Cheryl's penultimate point, that certainly for a number of groups, you really need veteran or experienced chairs and co-chairs for a number of reasons. And perhaps for cross-community working groups, that's more critical, generally speaking, than others. So one thing that we could think about throwing out there is not only co-chairs, but experienced co-chairs. So that's my specific suggestion. On the co-chairs for this group, what I was thinking was, it seems to me that what we have is a nomination of John and Becky by Cheryl, seconded by Alan, to continue as the permanent co-chairs of this group. We can write that up as a message to the list and ask for nominations or self-nominations for a co-chair or co-chairs, either in lieu of them or to assist them. That's just to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And those are my comments, John.
Well, thank you, Mary. We are at the top of the hour.
Just before you do, sorry, John, and my hour's later than yours. I disagree with you, Mary, in the last part of what you said. I don't think it should be limited to the working group list, which is necessarily already small and not as inclusive as it needs to be. I think that is an order of business that you could reasonably explore in the London meeting, and you certainly need to proactively reach out to the ACs, and might I mention there is also another SO, right, to see whom they would like to contribute to the leadership of this very important foundational activity for this group. So I'd be, asking for experienced leaders to be put forward from all the component parts that would make up a future cross-community working group. Now, we know some of them may not send anybody. That's okay. We'll stick a blow-up doll at the table and that's fine. But push it, Mary. Do not just say, we advertised it in our own list and therefore it's been advertised. That's a big pitfall in my view. Anyway, I don't disagree with you often, Mary. This is just one of those times.
That's a very good point, Cheryl. And in fact, in seeking to address the active participation, active non-participation, it's not just seeking people who can serve as leader, but also people from each of the SOs and ACs that can serve as active participants. That would really be helpful as well. So Becky and I can work with the staff to get that put together, we'll try and deliver on a progress report that establishes a provocative agenda for our meeting in London. Now, Cheryl, you'll be there. Alan, will you be in London? Well, we'll find out. I guess we can add that to the list of questions when we circulate a note to the working group, Mary.
Yeah, John, it is. I'll be there.
Yes. Great. I'll see you there. And my hope is that IG will be there, and some of the others. Great. All right, let's wrap it up right now. Anybody have any final words they want to offer, or can we just bid everyone adieu?
Adieu works well. When you put your listing out on these questions, though, John, can you make sure staff also remind everybody the timing of the London meeting? For example, I am likely to not be in the meeting if I've got competing interests from nominating committee. And I'm likely...
Well, the nominating committee starts till Tuesday, though, doesn't it?
No, we'll be interviewing from Saturday beforehand.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us this morning, and we'll see you in London.
See you then. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much, Andre, and I'll see the recordings. Thank you.